Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the MedBullet Step 1 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of polyglandular deficiency syndrome found under the endocrine section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with an introduction. Remember that this refers to a syndrome with associated pathologies involving Addison's disease and parathyroid or thyroid disease and gastrointestinal disease. There are two types. In type 1, there is autosomal recessive inheritance with onset in childhood. There is no HLA relationship. Conditions that are associated include Addison's disease, primary hypoparathyroidism, and mucocutaneous candidiasis. In type 2, this is an autosomal dominant inheritance disease with onset in young adulthood. There is an HLA-DR3 and DR4 association. Conditions that are associated include Addison's disease, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and type 1 diabetes mellitus. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to polyglandular deficiency syndrome, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 46-year-old female with a history of type 1 diabetes mellitus presents with complaints of chronic fatigue, muscle weakness, and headaches. These symptoms have been present for the past year. Her vital signs today are as follows: a temperature of 36.9 degrees Celsius, heart rate of 82 beats per minute, blood pressure of 88 over 52, respiratory rate of 14 breaths per minute, and oxygen saturation of 98% on room air. Physical exam does not demonstrate any specific abnormalities. After inquiring, the patient reports that her blood pressure has always run low. Initial workup reveals an 8 a.m. cortisol level of 3.6 micrograms per deciliter. Which of the following is the best next step in management of this patient? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, low-dose dexamethasone suppression test. Choice 2, high-dose dexamethasone suppression test. Choice 3, urgent 5 mg hydrocortisone injection. Choice 4, cosentropin stimulation test. Or Choice 5, pituitary MRI. The best answer to this question is Choice 4, cosentropin stimulation test. This patient's presentation of fatigue, weakness, and headaches in the setting of low blood pressures and a decreased 8 a.m. cortisol level is suggestive of adrenal insufficiency. A cosentropin stimulation test is the next diagnostic step in differentiating primary from secondary adrenal insufficiency and determining the etiology of this patient's low cortisol level. A cosentropin stimulation test involves measuring baseline serum cortisol levels prior to the injection of cosentropin. Serum cortisol is then measured again 1 hour after the injection. A sufficient increase in serum cortisol after administration of cosentropin rules out primary adrenal insufficiency and necessitates further workup of other etiologies. An insufficient or absent rise in serum cortisol in response to the injection is suggestive of primary adrenal insufficiency. Primary adrenal insufficiency is often associated with a constellation of other autoimmune diseases, such as autoimmune thyroid disease or type 1 diabetes mellitus. The publication by Majoroni and Patel describes the type 2 autoimmune polyglandular syndrome, which is the coexistence of autoimmune adrenal insufficiency, autoimmune thyroid disease, and or type 1 diabetes mellitus. The authors report that the disease typically manifests in middle age and is more common in females. Primary adrenal insufficiency is a necessary requirement for the diagnosis of this syndrome. The existence of this pathology is confirmed by a cosentropin stimulation test, demonstrating absent or insufficient rise in the serum cortisol level. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choices 1 and 2. A dexamethasone suppression test is appropriate for the workup of elevated cortisol levels, not depressed levels as seen in this vignette. Choice 3. Workup to identify the cause of this patient's adrenal insufficiency should be pursued prior to initiating adrenal replacement therapy. The patient's presentation is not consistent with an acute adrenal crisis. Choice 5. Secondary adrenal insufficiency should be confirmed prior to pursuit of this expensive diagnostic test. That's all for this review about polyglandular deficiency syndrome. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullet Step 1 podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the MedBullets Step 1 Podcast.